Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Do talk about songs. Welcome to episode 135. If you can believe it, I'm your co-host Sarah D. Bunting, and I am here with Mark Blankenship, who has brought us something today that he feels very strongly about. Mark, hello. Tell us more.
Well, Sarah.
Hello.
The song that I've chosen for today is awesome in the original sense of that word.
Yes, it is.
I feel awe that this song exists.
I am full of awe. It is awful.
Sometimes perhaps. Awe can be terrible. There's a terrible awe that one can feel.
Yeah.
So I honestly feel like before we get anywhere close to a conversation, we just need to hear a clip from the truly awesome She-Wolf by Shakira.
That's all you ask of me, darling. It is no joke. This is lycanthropy. The moon's awake now, with eyes wide open. My body's craving, so feed the hungry. I've been devoting myself to you Monday to Monday and Friday to Friday. Not getting enough retribution or decent incentives to keep me at it. I'm starting to feel just a little abused, like a coffee machine in an office. So I'm gonna go somewhere cozy to get me a lover and tell you about it. She-Wolf in the closet, moving up on Saturn's feet. Oh, there's a she-wolf in your closet. Let it out so it can breathe.
So, Sarah, had you heard this song before?
I don't think so. I can't say for sure. I really do feel like if I had heard it before, I would have remembered it.
Yes.
For so many reasons. But I don't, not to my knowledge, no.
You really get right at the heart of it, I think, with what you just said, which is there are many songs that are forgettable. This is, to me, a forgettable song.
No. I'll never forget where I was when I first heard it. I'll never forget that I literally was so feverishly taking notes that a pen ran out of ink and had to be replaced halfway through, which is why my notes are sort of appropriately for this topic in both red and purple ink.
Sure.
So there's a puce thing happening. We're talking a lot about puce today.
It's Mark and Sarah talk about puce.
Mastap.
And honestly, with this song, talk about puke a little bit too.
I mean, should I start asking some questions, or would you like to say some things first?
I think let's start with a bit of an interrogation.
Okay. My first question was, why is this choreo happening to us?
Oh my God. The video.
She.
Oh God.
What was it I called it in an IM to you? It was like she was auditioning to be one of the creepy sideshow performers on American Horror Story, like Circus 2.
Yes, that is almost word for word.
I mean, respect for having no bones in your pelvis that are attached to anything, but what is happening? Like, this is not a werewolf thing. Like, do werewolves twerk? Maybe that's like wolfist of me to think that they don't. This song is like six different songs that are supposed to go together and don't. There's like bleedy trilling in the verse. The chorus sounds like it was auto-tuned and then someone dropped the auto-tune in an aquarium that hadn't been cleaned in a while. The dancing is creepy. the sound is very late 70s and not in a good way. And I literally have no goddamn idea what is going on. Like, there's a werewolf, but there's also the office break room.
Yes.
There's apparently a werewolf mentor at the bar, at the club.
Yeah. But also, then there's the moon who has become somehow, the moon has been accredited at a university and is now a teacher.
Retribution is used incorrectly. I realize this is like, I should not nitpick, but what you meant was remuneration. And if you're having to work that hard to get something that scans for that, just rewrite the whole fucking thing, please.
Or was it reciprocation? It could have been either one of those words, but it definitely wasn't retribution.
No, it wasn't the one she used. I don't understand what... Like, there's something happening in the line about cute little devos that I think might be low-key homophobic. Nocturnal creatures are not so prudent is not a line that belongs in a pop song. AMA.
So, I will ask you a few things.
Yes, please do.
So I feel like I want to take a macro approach about this song. And then sort of zero in on some of the things that make it especially crazy.
If you can find an angle from which to do that, I will accompany you.
When this song was released in 2009, I was still at the time writing a blog called The Critical Condition. And when I was writing about this song at the time, I coined the term, I don't think I coined it in the world, but for my own critical language, I coined the term disaster piece. Which is a song that is so magnificently terrible that I have to respect it.
Yes.
Like, I can't even really be angry about this song. I realized that when I was initially IMing you about this, I was saying that my anger for the song is deep and pure, but it's actually not anger. I respect the confidence with which this terrible piece of shit was made, because there's this, like, this whole thing about Shakira that I have always noticed is that she just seems so completely confident in her insanity, kind of like Jada Sophia from RuPaul's Drag Race or Valentina.
Yes,
like those two queens on that show, they both are just always so confident, but they're insane. And Shakira's lyrics, even in Spanish, are crazy, because I thought that perhaps it was just an ESL translation issue with her that we've encountered in other artists we've discussed. But when you look at the lyrics to her other songs, like she has a song called Inevitable, which is actually a beautiful Alanis Morissette-esque song that she released in the late 90s. And there's a whole fucking verse in there about, I've never tasted as good as a cup of coffee. Like, homegirl loves a coffee metaphor.
And the thing is, like, she's very... Yeah, like, I felt bad sort of mentioning the bad, the usage errors, because she's far from the only person guilty of that in pop. That's basically every pop song, and not everyone has an excuse. But... that, like, I will give her this, at least when you're experiencing it as a video, like, she is beautiful, and it is, like, what's going on is so weird that you can't stop looking at it.
Yeah, yes, again, disaster piece. It is a car crash that you kind of want to grab your binoculars and see up close. But one of the things that's fascinating to me is, you were just talking about other songs that with terrible usage, and I thought about the song Empire State of Mind, in which Alicia Keys sings, in New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. What? But that song has such a thundering beat that you're kind of like, okay, this song, as you were just saying before about it being dropped in an aquarium, this is the most wan, lifeless, half-assed, limp dick, saggy titty disco I have ever heard. It's like...
Sound like Putting on the Ritz to you, also?
Sure. Yes, it kind of does. But Putting on the Ritz, but like dialed way
putting
down.
Putting on the coffee.
Like you're right. Yes, good. Putting on the Ritz, but like on Prozac. Like, yes. I can't even, like, I can barely get out of bed. And one of the things that I think makes it so fascinating is how fucking, like, there's a commitment in the lyric writing that is nowhere evident in the singing or the track. It is actually such a half-assed performance all around. And one of the things that I love, I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop staring directly into the sun of the way that she makes the world's most limp dish rag wolf howl. Ow-oo.
I know.
This is supposed it's to be like... the fucking she-wolf who's tearing out of the closet to rip all the men apart to eat their dicks. And she's like, ow.
I mean, she's really tired because her iron is low, I'm assuming. But it really does sound like there's bits of other songs in there that it's like either this needs to be much closer to the original, which also, like, I'm thinking also of Two of Hearts.
Yeah.
Two hearts that beat, which also sounds
Stacey Q.
Very,
God, that still's very thin and uncommitted. You're right.
Yeah, that she just sounds exhausted. That she's like, the two hearts beating as one is actually really,
two,
you know, wearing me out.
Two of hearts, I need you. What?
I need you.
Where are we
you.
Still singing? Okay.
To get me a protein shake because I'm about to just faint. Like, so this is the same. And then there's like three different speakers, I would say, in the song, like lyrically. One of them is like this terrifying she-wolf. One of them is a she-wolf that is in the closet, which, like, that's not really where you put wild animals. Like, something with a cage, and then you're gonna rage. Like, do we have to do everything for you, Shakira? These are not the images that you want.
No.
And then, like, I'm a coffee machine in an office as a metaphor for
being abused.
Abused. Which I think she means taken for granted, but she just went way too big with the verb. And it's like, well, but it's an office coffee machine.
Like, let's just go back and really parse what? That line. I'm starting to feel just a little abused, like a coffee machine in an office. Girl, does anyone ever think of the Keurig over there in the corner as being the sad carrier of mortal wounds? No.
No. And a little abused? I mean, and then why is it even there? Why is it even there for rhyme purposes? Like, it's not like you sort of look at that and you're like, all right, that's an unfortunate choice. But for reasons of rhyme or scansion, I guess she felt like she had no choice, even though I would have kept trying to not use that word.
But what's so fascinating is, like, we have to sit here and guess what she might have meant. That is how fucking opaque these lyrics are. And it's not like Seal or fucking Led Zeppelin where the opacity is the point. You can tell that she's trying to say something to you here that's clear, but you just, it's like, what?
And here's my other favorite line. Nocturnal creatures are not so prudent. Like, she has not used a contraction. It's are not so prudent. And then, I mean, this is true. This line does have a truth.
Yes.
In it. But this is like, I don't know. It's just so formal. Like, there's a level of diction occasionally that is like, and here begins my second topic paragraph. Nocturnal creatures, colon, lack of prudency. Like, what? What?
So,
and then you also have behave very bad in the arms of a boy, which is also grammatically incorrect, but feels much truer to what she's actually trying to do. And you don't even get to that point until the end of the song.
Yeah. I feel like that's the first line that actually makes you go, oh, it's that her man's not paying enough attention to her. And so she's going to go be on the prowl as a she-wolf.
Yes, and, like, she's going to use this animal as an excuse to live her best life. And I mean, that also kind of makes no sense, but I get it dimly.
And it's because another thing that keeps happening is that the she-wolf, like you said, there's so many speakers in the song. Sometimes the she-wolf is an object that she considers, and sometimes the she-wolf is she herself. So which one is it, girl? Is it, there's a she-wolf in the closet, let it out, is what the chorus says. Not let me out, it's let it out, as though she's standing across the room pointing at it. So
Shouldn't it still be she?
Yeah. Also, shouldn't it still be she? Let her out. So are you letting this wolf out of the cage to go fuck men for you, like Cyrano style? Or are
Well, and then there's that when she sees the she-wolf, when she's outside of the she-wolf, and she sees that, oh my God, say this five times fast. She sees she-wolves by the seashore. That she sees the she-wolf, like, at the bar, whatever, toying with her prey, which is like, well, that's really more of a cat thing. Please watch the animal, like, watch the, you know, National Geographic channel. You don't know what you're talking about. But then there's this weird, like, that she's trying to be, like, taken on as an intern by the she-wolf.
Yes.
It's like, take your Shakira to work day for she-wolves. That's, like, that's actually
well, that's
so
the coffee machine.
Weird.
Maybe,
yes.
Maybe at the she-wolf office, they literally do abuse the coffee machine. And so that's why she thinks that's what everyone does, because she's only been to the she-wolf office.
I mean, it makes as much sense as any other goddamn thing. And here's the thing. Like everything else in this song, lyrically and aurally, that is crazy. And it, like, our attempts to make sense of it are, like, 28 times more effort than the songwriters made to make sense of it. But that's sort of charming.
Yes.
Like, I'm sort of, I have this image of, like, the set from L.A. Law and, like, just a bunch of she-wolves in
yes,
blouses with
so
bows
weird.
On them sitting around talking about, like, oh, did you bring your Shakira to work this week? And then
and the glasses on the little chain.
Down.
The glasses yes. on the little chain.
And or, like, the pen, like Joan from Mad Men. And then they're just, like, when they're finished pouring a cup of coffee, they just throw the entire coffee machine out the window. And Shakira's like, what kind of fucking office is this?
And Shakira's walking through the parking lot and the coffee machine lands at her feet and she jumps back startled and she goes, and no, it lands on her toe as she's
yes.
walking through the parking lot. And she goes, ow, that hurt.
I think we cracked it, dude. I'm not joking. This is the only possible explanation.
Holy shit. Shakira was carried into the world. Oh my God. So now, okay. Go with, okay, let me continue our theory. In the first verse, she says, a domesticated girl, that's all you ask of me. Darling, it is no joke. This is lycanthropy. Now, one could say you have given us at best a vague understanding of the word lycanthropy and what it means. Because again, that means if you're turning into a werewolf, then why are you referring to the she-wolf later in the third person? Like, you know, it's all very complicated. However, what if, Sarah, lycanthropy is the name of the company where all
yes.
the she-wolves work. So she
lycanthropy
goes...
Lycanthropy LLC.
So, darling, it is no joke. This is lycanthropy. She's just walking to work.
Yeah.
And
or she's like in the lobby and coffee machines are just falling around her
everywhere.
Like, and she's like, this is not a joke.
This is lycanthropy. And so, and literally...
HR, people are like gnawing on her leg. She's like, this is serious.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some retribution. Ow.
Ow, that hurts. Exactly. Oh my God. Shakira, thank you for taking us into a new... First of all, let's call OSHA.
Yeah.
Second, thank you, Shakira. Third, I'm so glad that we were able to crack this mystery. I expect that there will be some sort of CBS Sunday morning special about us very soon.
And fourth of all, don't go back there. Just let them have your last paycheck. It's not worth it.
It isn't. It isn't. You know what? We'll send you some money. It's fine. Y'all, Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, a.k.a. me, and Sarah D. Bunting. And it's edited by Sarah D. Bunting as well. Do you want to talk to Mark and Sarah about song requests, ads, or birthday readings? Email us at talkaboutsongs@gmail.com, tweet us at TalkSongs, or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/mastus.podcast. To become a supporter and producer of this podcast, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/mastus, where you can get access to all kinds of cool bonus content and vote in our ranking episodes. Thanks for listening.
Mark and Sarah talk about songs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.